from two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska. This is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dog Works Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dog Works Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Sibe Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood Sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Everybody, this is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Sibe Vibe here on Dog Works Radio. You can find all of our episodes over on Apple Podcasts. Just search for Dog Works Radio there, and you can download as well as review us. And do us a favor and give us that review. Let us know what you think of our shows. You can also find us on dogworksradio.com as well as on social media on all channels under the same name. And I am joined today by our host of the Sibe Vibe, calling in from the Hudson Valley of New York. Her name is Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hi, Robert. How are you today?
All is well here in Alaska.
Things are good here. We're having a humid day. We're opening our pool here, so both the Huskies and my grandson and the family, they're all kind of excited in anticipation of that. I also just want to take a moment today to wish everyone a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. And while we're all out there enjoying time spent with our family and friends and barbecuing and having picnics, let's not forget the true meaning of the day and take a moment to reflect on our fallen soldiers and military working dogs who gave the ultimate sacrifice so we can enjoy the many freedoms we do today. I'd also, Robert, want to send out some big happy birthday wishes. The first one goes out to my five sides, and from my five sides and I to my husband, the five sides dad, who will be celebrating his birthday tomorrow. And we cannot do all we do here at what we call the Five Sides Husky Haven Homestead without him. And May is a very busy birthday month, and I want to send out birthday wishes to both my Aunt Carolyn, my niece Melinda, and we have a Five Sides friend and listener, Holly Stoddard, who's a great friend and a big supporter, and her birthday is coming up on the 30th. And to Robert's other half, Michelle Forto, whose birthday is today. So happy birthday, everyone. And Robert, I'm going to be flipping the mic on you today, right?
Yes, you are. Looking forward to it.
Well, I'm very excited to be chatting with you as my guest about your recent self-described epic journey. That's your very first winter expedition, I want to let folks that are listening know, and that is for your Dream Chaser Leadership Internship to earn your outdoor leadership degree through the University of Alaska Anchorage. And the expedition was an exciting six-night journey, which was a multi-sport expedition that you led, and that included seven other outdoor leaders, where you traveled 150 miles this past March by dog sled and fat bike through the Alaskan backcountry. Wow. And for our listeners who may not know, when I say Robert is multi-talented, I am very serious. He is not only my producer and co-host, he runs a whole family of shows as part of his Dog Works Radio. He's also the lead musher for Team Aneke in Willow, Alaska, with a team of, is it 36 dogs now?
We have 38 now. We got a couple 30? Of leaders over the spring.
All right. And he and his wife, Michelle, train dogs through their Alaska Dog Works. He is a husband, a father, a grandfather, and he's a college student. Woo, Robert, how do you fit it all in?
You know, there's 24 hours in a day, and up here in Alaska in the summertime, it doesn't hardly ever get dark. So I guess it's best to take care of what we have to do in the hours that we have.
So you get a couple extra hours than we do down here, essentially, right?
Right.
So tell us what it's like being back in school.
Well, you know, I started school 3 years ago sort of on a bet from my daughter, Nicole. She had just finished high school, and she wanted to enter school here at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. And we went down and, you know, did all of the preliminary stuff for a freshman college student, and I said, you know what, I think I could do this too. And I hadn't been in school since the early 90s. I graduated in 96 with my first degree, so I thought, why not? Let's go back. And the next thing you know, I was in with 2 feet, and I've been a full-time college student as well as all of those other hats that you mentioned previously for the last 3-4 years now.
That's quite impressive. Now, I know you're earning an outdoor leadership degree. How will that work into your mushing world?
You know, it is absolutely amazing. Every single course that I have taken somehow applies to what we do with our business, whether it be our dog training business or our mushing business and racing. Every bit of it somehow ties together. I think I'm the only person in our program that has wrote every paper, did every project, did every assignment somehow related to mushing. You know, if you're 20 years old in school, you have no idea what you want to do in life, so you struggle through, you know, those 10-page papers and those huge PowerPoint projects that you got to do. But with me, I've got not only 20 years of experience in my back pocket, but I have a ready-made outdoor program in my backyard.
Which leads me to, and I'm really excited to talk, and I wanted to talk to you about this since I knew you were doing it, so I'm really excited that you're on. Can you just like kind of tell our listeners and me about your winter expedition, how it came about, and how long of a process to design it, get it together, how'd you get others to join in, and how'd you know what trail you wanted to go on? Just kind of give us the whole scoop about it.
Well, boy, that's a huge question. I'm sure we could fill up the entire half
day,
hour,
right?
Maybe even an hour. Right. You know, it started in 2015 or so. I went to my advisor, who's now become a very dear friend. His name is TJ Miller. And I told him, at some point, TJ, I want to take a group of students on the original Serum Run route, and can you help me design this? And he thought, yeah, that sure, we could do that, but that sure is an awful long trail. It's over 600 miles, and it would be tough to have a group of students get out of school for a month or so. So eventually, after almost a year of talking, we decided that we were going to do it as my internship. Every degree student at UEA, as well as most universities, have to do an internship project. It's a 6-credit course where you go out into the world and, you know, get your feet wet. You know, most students are doing it for their degree, for whatever they're going to do in the future. So if they are a physical therapy student, they may go work in a PT clinic. If they are a biology student, they may do a field study. If they're an engineering student, they may work at a construction firm, something like that. Well, of course, as I mentioned a minute ago, I designed my internship right around what we already do, and we decided to do this expedition. Now, part of the program was I had to design the entire college course. It is now a college course at the university, so I had to do all of the assignments, I had to do the syllabus, I had to do the course design, I had to get, you know, the dean's approval, I had to do all of that behind-the-scenes stuff so it could be a college-level course. It's a two-level college-level course, and that's sort of the backbone. And then with that, we just did everything that we already do in mushing and tied it all together.
Wow, that's really impressive. Now, were all the Team Eneke Huskies, were they all Team Eneke Huskies, or did some of these folks have their own sled dogs to bring?
No, they were all of our dogs, but nobody brought their own. All of these kids, and they were truly kids in their early 20s. Most of them had never been on a dog sled before. Most of them had never been on a fat bike before. And most of them had never driven a snow machine before. And for folks that are listening outside, a fat bike is sort of like a mountain bike for the snow. It has about 4-inch wide tires, and you can pretty much coast over just about any terrain. You use them on snow, you use them in the swampy areas, you use them in the mud. Think of like a monster truck for mountain bikes. That's what a fat tire bike is. So what we did was we got all of these kids together. They signed up. It was a very selective process. We filled the class in one day. We had 11 spots originally. Then we figured out there's no way in the world we can logistically take 11 students, myself and my advisor, TJ Miller. So we whittled it down to 8. Unfortunately, one of them dropped out. And the first thing that we did is we did some in-classroom coursework where we went over, you know, all of the logistic parts of it, you know, sort of the bookwork of it. And then they came out and they spent the weekend here at our place in what we called our boot camp. And everybody got, you know, pretty much a trial by fire on what they needed to do with all three disciplines, the dog teams, the fat bikes, and the snow machines. And then about 3 weeks later, we hit the trail.
That's amazing. Now, how do you transport the dogs, the fat bikes, and everything? Like how for especially for people who this is the first time they're hearing about this?
Well, we started here in Willow about 12 miles north of here at Eagle Quest Lodge. It's on the Deshka River. And the Deshka and the Yetna and the Big Sioux River is the actual start of the Iditarod, the 1,000-mile sled dog race. So we hauled all of our gear over there. The UAA has one of those big shuttle buses like you typically see at the airport where you go from, you know, the terminal to the rental cars or whatever. So we packed all of the people and as much gear as we could fit into there. We had 2 trailers for our snow machines, and we took our dog truck with we took 22 dogs on the trip. So we packed up 22 dogs and started there at Eagle Quest.
Awesome. Now, as the leader, what did you find to be the most challenging part of the expedition?
Every day had its own challenges, but I think the biggest challenge was I was the only one that really knew what was going on, and I was literally trying to coordinate everybody's activities over 20 miles of trail. Just imagine out there in the middle of nowhere with no communication, you have people on all three things, the fat bikes, the dog teams, and the snow machines. And here you are trying to coordinate with, one of the girls' name was Miranda here, to Jamie on the other trail, to Trevor on the other part of the trail, just trying to make sure all of those communications and logistics were together was a tough thing. I don't think I slept the entire 6 days.
I bet not. Now, how did the kids all do?
They did excellent. It was so cool, Dorothy, when we came back. You know, everybody, you know, we were a team at that point. Now, we had all been in many, many classes together because we're all in the same outdoor program. But it's just amazing how a trip like this can bond so many people together for sort of these lifelong friendships that – you know, this is an event that they will remember for the rest of our lives. And I think that everybody not only came out as much better outdoor leaders, and it was an outdoor leadership program, but also a newfound respect not only for sled dogs, but for the environment as well.
Right. I was going to say, this really teaches them hands-on care of these dogs, you know, and that's always a wonderful thing. And also, like you said, for nature and the environment, you have some of the most beautiful raw environment there is up there. Now, what would you say was your highlight of the expedition?
The highlight was also one of our biggest challenges. On day 3, we had a lot of problems. We had a snow machine breakdown. We had lots and lots of dog problems, leaders that didn't want to lead, and we had a couple of dog fights, you know, the boys getting in tussles with the other boys. And we ended up having to send 3 dogs home on the trail. And sending them home, they were packed up in a box, and they were taken by snow machine back to Eagle Quest, where Michelle picked them up in the middle of the night. But the highlight of the whole trip was when those dogs went home, Dorothy, all of the participants were giving kisses to these guys, were telling them they did such a great job. You know, they all of a sudden, you could just see the bond with the dogs at that point. You know, there was even people They were hugging the dogs. It was just an amazing sight to see just how close they got to these dogs in such a short amount of time.
That's wonderful. Now, just for anyone who's tuning in on this episode of The Side Vibe, I'm chatting with my multi-talented producer and co-host, Robert Forto, and he's lead musher for Team Inekke, and he just completed leading his very first winter expedition. That was his Dream Chaser leadership internship for his outdoor leadership degree through the University of Alaska at Anchorage. And we're talking about this exciting six-night journey, which he took, which was a multi-sport expedition that Robert and seven other outdoor students traveled 150 miles by dog sled and fat bike and also snowmobiles through the Alaskan backcountry on what Robert calls an epic journey. To check out photos and videos from this exciting journey, you can visit the Team Inekke community Facebook page, and the links will be also on a future Five Sides blog post and, of course, on our The Side Vibe page at dogworksradio.com/the-side-vibe. Now, Robert, I absolutely love all the pictures, and you have some great video. You have, you know, some of the dogs. You can hear them while you're waiting for other teams being so excited. You know, what a trip. I hope you got an A, or an A+, actually.
You know, I hope so, too. The grades have not been posted yet, but it was such a tremendous amount of work. You know, not only was, you know, the course design a part of it and, you know, the actual trip, but all of the miles that we had to train the dogs so they could be able to go this winter. I focused solely on this trip this year because I was training 22 dogs to go on the trip by myself. Nicole has moved out, and as I mentioned, she's in college, so she isn't here as often as she used to be, and Michelle is just as busy as I, so we were training all of these dogs to do this trip, so I wasn't able to do any racing this year, which was okay with me, but, you know, it was an act of love, and it was such an amazing experience, and I'm looking forward to doing it next year as well.
I know. I read that you refer to it as an annual trip. It's part of the curriculum now. Is that correct? And you
Yes.
said you've been making plans for the second one in 2018. I think that's excellent. I read somewhere, I think, that you're going to be possibly offering the opportunity for other people to join the expedition. How can they do that? And where and how and
Yes.
all the details on that?
Anybody can go on the trip. All they have to do is sign up for the course, and they can do that through the University of Alaska. They can do it from anywhere in the country. Obviously, it's one of those bucket list items if somebody wants to do it. And what was amazing, Dorothy, is last year or this year's course, I say last year because it's in the past, it was only $1,000 for these guys to do that. Imagine doing
Wow.
this type of trip for $1,000. But yes, we are going to offer a second trip to a group of soldiers. Michelle works with the local Elks Lodge with her service dog training program, and they've been talking to us for a long time about doing some type of outdoor activities with these guys that are returning back from war. And some of them are in need of service dogs. Some of these guys are just soldiers that want to go out on trips but are somehow associated with the Elks Lodge. So we're going to offer, hopefully, if all comes together, and we may do a lot of hoop jumping, you know how it is with nonprofits sometimes,
mm-hmm.
we're going to offer the same trip to a group of soldiers as well. So we may end up doing it twice next year.
Oh, that's wonderful, and I definitely want to know all the details on that, and I'd love to do, you know, an article on that. So you have to definitely keep me posted on it. I think that's a wonderful idea, you know, to do that. And the relationship, you know, with the soldiers and the dogs, I know it's service dogs, it's so important, and so I think that would be wonderful, and I really hope it does take off. And I think the time-consuming that goes into this, it's amazing. So these type of expeditions now, you were saying that this group that you had now had no training at all. So when people sign up for it, it could be just someone who just is interested or like in mushing or wanting to explore the Alaskan world of sled dogs. I mean, you say they go through your boot camp. So is that like anyone that can apply? I know you have a strict process of who comes on, but they don't need to have experience. They would get some of that hands-on in the boot camp?
they would get all of the experience that they would need necessary. Obviously, they would need to be pretty physically fit because it's a very demanding week on the trail. But next year, one of our things that we figured out that we have to do better is we're going to have to do 2 weekend boot camps just to give people more experience. And that's not only for the people, but also for the dogs with the people. As I mentioned, our struggles on one of the days out on the trail was, you know, the dogs had a different musher every day. And these dogs pretty much have been ran by myself, Nicole, and Michelle, and occasionally a friend or two on very rare occasions, but almost their entire lives they've been ran exclusively by us. And when you have new people with new commands and new ways of doing things as the musher every day, the dogs get very confused. They don't know what they're supposed to do. So they shut down on these guys that third day. They said, you know what, we're not doing this. We want our main musher back. So we need to give these guys more time together with the dogs on the trail and just get them out there and experience more of the trail so I don't have to do everything by myself. And remember, Dorothy, all of these guys were outdoor leadership students, so they were very well prepared, very well versed in the Alaskan outdoors. But if you get a group of folks out there that don't have the experience as a lot of these guys, it's going to be a much more difficult trip. So we want to give them more experience out on the in the backcountry, and that's why we're going to offer that second weekend of training.
I think that's wonderful. It just sounds like such a dream trip. You know, I know a lot of work goes into it. I'm thinking as a person who would partake in this, and it's a great way too of introducing people. Like, say they want to enter into the sled dog world or the mushing world. I mean, this is a really good way for them to actually experience it and see if it's something that they truly would love and truly could do, right?
It's funny you said that. Our friend Miranda, who went out on the trip with us, not only is she now one of our puppy raisers with our service dog program, but she is also now a musher here at Team Inekē. We did do a very short race the week after the expedition, a little short 30-mile night race, and she's hooked. It didn't take long, Dorothy. As you know, once you get on the back of the sled, it's one of those things that hooks you it hooks you like a sinker. And I tell you what, she has become so excited to join our team, and she's looking forward to coming out this following year, not only helping with our expeditions, but also we may run a few short races here. I don't think we'll do any longer distance races than these expeditions, but at least we'll have somebody else that's helping out. And I know folks are probably asking, well, what about Iditarod? And I always tell folks, you know, people are running Iditarod at 70, and I'm only 45, so I have a lot of time left to run Iditarod. And I'm sure in your and I talks over the years, Dorothy, you know that my passion is just sharing our way of life and our love of the dogs with other people. And what better way can we do that than doing a trip like this and not having to worry about all the craziness with races and all the expenses that go with that? We're doing what we love and sharing it with groups of people at one time.
Yeah, you guys are terrific. I think it's wonderful because you're sharing all this expertise. And what's to say that, you know, out of this, I mean, just the relationships that you're forming, you have Miranda now that through this program is on your team. And, you know, who knows what the future holds. And it could be one of the folks that you train, you know, on your Team Inekē dogs through one of these expeditions that could be running the Team Inekē flag in an Iditarod. So the possibilities are so wide open. And I just think it's so commendable how you guys, you know, always open your door and you're always helping to educate folks about sled dogs and the care of huskies and just the outdoor, you know, the outdoor living. I think that's really, really terrific. And it's very exciting. I think it's a very exciting program. And, you know, and for us, it's like stepping, it's like being an armchair musher in a way for me, because I get to live precariously through your videos and, you know, your photos, because there's a lot of folks who, you know, we have different kinds of lifestyles, and it's just very exciting to step into this for a day. You know, and some of us dream that hopefully we will be able to be in the musher seat one day, and while we can, it's terrific that we can follow this through you guys. And, you know, I know, and we've talked and we've met on so many different levels. You guys are wonderful on your care of dogs and how you share all this experience with everyone. So you guys really should be commended. And this is an excellent program. And I'm so impressed. I mean, the fact that, you know, you've written this whole program for UAA is really quite commendable. It really is.
Thank you.
So are you taking a break at all right now? Or I feel not. I feel like you're jumping right into the next season of things there.
There is no breaks here. as I mentioned, as a full-time college student and a business owner and a beekeeper and a radio host and everything that goes along with it, there is no break. A couple of weeks ago, I was in California doing a Swiftwater rescue course for our program. It is not offered up here, so I ended up getting some rescue training up there at one of the major whitewater rivers up in California. And then in just 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll be out on about a 10-day trip doing some whitewater rafting as one of the courses for our program. It's going to be an awesome trip, very similar to the expedition, except we're going to be on whitewater with rafts and paddle boats. I'm not teaching that. I'm just a student, but we're doing that. And then a full curriculum or a full schedule of classes coming up in the fall. And if all works out and I get the grades that I'm supposed to get, I should be graduating in May of next year.
Excellent. Congratulations. This is going to be exciting. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's so commendable. And, you know, it's also an inspiration to others who are thinking about going back to school to follow their passion. And, you know, how you've tied all these things together is just really terrific. And, you know, the possibilities are so open for you and Team Ineke. And I can't wait to see where you go with this. And I love the expedition. So I'm so thrilled that you took the time to, like, kind of recap this event for us. And I just want to remind folks, if you go over to the Team Ineke Facebook community page, he's got some fantastic photos of the expedition, the huskies. You know, it's just amazing. Beautiful, beautiful pictures and a wonderful program, Robert.
Thank you. And I do want to give a shout out to one of our participants and fellow students. His name was Connor McDonald. He's a journalism student, and he did the project. He did a project for the expedition, was to do all the photography and the videos, and we did interviews every night. And you know what was interesting about that, Dorothy, is he was there as a role as a journalist, and he found himself in quite a few precarious situations because, you know, with journalism, you have to sort of be an outsider in the action, and he was doing that role, and it was really his first assignment where he was not only a participant but also a real honest to goodness journalist for his program. And it became a relatively difficult task for him to do as well. And so it was such a well-rounded program. It was an awesome experience. We had seven awesome team members out there, with myself included. It was just a great week out on the trail. The weather was magnificent. And as I mentioned, we did over 150 miles of trail there in the middle of nowhere. We, even though we did stay at absolutely beautiful lodges and roadhouses along the way, many of them on the original Iditarod Trail, it was such a cool experience to get out there and do it. And I'm so blessed to have great mentors and great advisors at our program that allow me to do what I wanted to do and, you know, not only follow my passions here as a middle-aged college student, but also to get out there and show other people as well.
That's awesome. Congratulations. It's just a terrific program, and I can't wait to see, you know, and follow your following ones. I just think it's fantastic, and I loved hearing about it from the journalistic side. That's, you know, that's up my alley. So I'd love to talk to him. So if you want to put him in touch with me, I'd love to maybe kind of get, you know, do a review on this with him. It would be terrific. But congratulations, and I thank you so much for, you know, taking us through this expedition with you, and can't wait to see what's in store next.
Excellent. Well, you know, Dorothy, I love doing these shows with you, and I'm glad to be a guest again. It's been a few months or almost a year or two since I've been on the other side of the mic with you, so it's always a pleasure,
yeah.
And we'll talk next month, okay?
Sounds great. You take care. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
And
on
thank
behalf
you, listeners,
of my...
Yes,
thank you. On behalf of my co-host, Dorothy Wills Raftery, this is the Side Vibe. We will see you guys next time. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.